Welcome back to Agent Investor, inspiring stories of active agents investing in real estate and building passive income. In a business where potential deals are all around you, why not leverage your skills to invest for yourself, your family, and your future? And now, let's jump into the latest episode of Agent Investor.
Today's topic are the top 10 things not to do as a real estate investor, as a newer real estate investor. And these are all based on stuff, conversations that I've had over the last 90 days with a variety of different agents. But before I go into that topic, I want to hit on a couple of kind of updates that we've made to the Agent Investor platform. The first and probably the most important is that we are now doing an Agent Investor live event once a month in not one, but two geographic locations. We are trying to get as many people to come to these events in person as possible. So what we're going to do every single month, we're going to rotate around New England, within about a 2-hour radius of Boston. And we're always going to try every single month to hit kind of a different geographic area. As I'm talking right now, it is Halloween. It's October 31st, 2023. And our next event that we're having in November, we're going to have two locations: Springfield, Massachusetts, which is kind of like on the Connecticut border, and then right directly in Boston. So every month, we're going to rotate those two locations. And again, we're going to try to get to go to as many geographic areas in Boston, whether it's Rhode Island or Connecticut or Maine, Boston, Worcester, Springfield, Manchester, New Hampshire, Vermont, like all of those areas, we're going to try to rotate around as much as possible. If you're listening to this and it's past the November date, I just want to let you know that you can always look to see where our next upcoming event is by going to www.agentinvestorevent.com. Again, that's www.agentinvestorevent.com. We do run these events completely for free. Seating is limited. We typically limit these to 50 or 60 people. In advance, we basically tell the hotel how much space we have, how much space we need. And, you know, it's up to you to register for free as soon as you possibly can. Because once we kind of commit to these hotels, we can't add extra people. So if you're the least bit interested in attending one of our upcoming events, I highly recommend you go to www.agentinvestorevent.com now and register. Even if you're not 1,000% sure, if you can make the day, if you can make the time, I'd rather have you register for the event early. You can always tell us after the fact that you can't make it, and then we can open up the slots. But if you're interested, please attend. I will tell you that nothing beats an in-person event, ever. Some of my biggest breakthroughs in my 20-year career have come from in-person events. You can listen to YouTube videos. You guys can watch my live streams. You can listen to podcasts. But there's something about being in person, being able to actually communicate like one-to-one, being in a room with a group of other investors that's really much, much more impactful than, you know, just listening to a podcast or listening to a YouTube video. It allows you to ask questions. It allows you to meet other investors, not just myself. So I highly recommend that you attend as many of our events as you can. And like I mentioned a second ago, that we're going to be rotating through New England. I understand that there are definitely people in our Facebook group that are from all over the country. And I highly encourage the people who are from different parts of the country to make it a point to attend one of these events. I know hopping on a plane, you know, costs money, costs time. But at the end of the day, we run our events for free. The information that we give away for free is just as good, if not better, than people who charge $500, $1,000, $200, $2,000 for their events. So while it does cost you money to pay for a plane ticket to get on a plane, you're not paying for the actual ticket to come to the event. So our events are free, at least temporarily. So, again, make it a point www.agentinvestorevent.com. You'll be able to see the topics of the events. You'll be able to register for the events, et cetera. Second thing I wanted to mention is up on my screen right now, for anybody that listens to our podcast or is in our Facebook groups, and they feel like they need a little bit more one-on-one help. Of course, we have the Agent Investor Inner Circle, which is our private coaching program. But I give everybody the ability to book a call with me directly, one-time call, even if you're not in the inner circle. Okay, this is just partly me kind of giving back to the community, but also to give you a taste of what it's like to be in the inner circle. So you can go to www.agentinvestorinnercircle.com to book a time and a day to speak with me directly about your individual personal investing needs and goals. Again, it's great to listen to this live stream or podcast or, you know, come to an event. Those are all really, really good things. I highly recommend doing them. But nothing beats an individual one-on-one conversation, because at the end of the day, every single person who's listening to this call is in a different position and has different goals. So in many cases, what most people ask me for is kind of like the end-all, be-all blueprint on how to be successful as a real estate investor. But that's all well and good, but it needs to be tailored to a specific person. You know, do you have a contracting background or not? Do you have management experience? Do you have the ability to find deals? And then what your goals are. So we always talk about, when somebody joins the inner circle, about looking at where they're at today and talking about where they want to be 5 to 10 years into the future. So if you would like to take advantage of a free consultation with me, where I'm not going to pitch you, I'm not going to sell you, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions about your goals and where you want to go, and give you basically a taste of what it's like to be in the inner circle, you can book that call anytime by going to www.agentinvestorinnercircle.com. I have a saying that I say all the time: sales will make you a living, investing will make you wealthy. And at the end of the day, I know most of the people who are listening are successful real estate agents. You make a living as a real estate agent, but you will not become financially free until you start investing. And a lot of the agents that I work with are towards the newer side of being an investor. So when I jump on these inner circle calls, I always ask people, hey, where are you at right now? Where do you want to be 5 to 10 years into the future? And then I always ask them, like, what's your plan today? Tell me what your plan to get there today is. And this list of the top 10 things not to do are based on the feedback that I get as to what people's current plans are now to invest in real estate. Like, what are the tasks that they are saying are important to them, that they're going to focus on, they're going to help them achieve financial freedom? And I don't mean to be negative or put any negative spin on this, but a lot of the top 10 things not to do are based on things that people are telling me that they're focused on today. And a lot of these things are the wrong things to do. And some of them are just time wasters. Some of them won't be effective. Some of them won't work. Some of them are dangerous. Some of them will cause people to lose money. But these are all things, all of these 10 things are things that, if you are not an experienced investor, might sound like good ideas when you're first starting out. In reality, they're not. They're not what you should be spending the most amount of time on. One of the principles that we run on, our company runs on something called the Entrepreneurial Operating System. If you haven't read the book Traction by Gino Wickman, I highly recommend it. But essentially, it forces you every single quarter to list off your top 4 to 6 priorities for the quarter. And there's a theory, and I don't even know if I want to call it a theory, it's pretty much a fact. We all have limited time, so we've got to spend it the right way. And we always have to focus on the things that are going to move the needle in our business today, in the next quarter. And if I were to flip my screen around, I would be able to show you my whiteboard. And my whiteboard has 101 ideas of all things that I want to do this quarter, right? But I am forced, right? I am forced to actually pick what are my top 3 to 6 that I want to focus on, that I need to focus on this quarter. And so I want to talk about today kind of like some of the stuff that gets put in front of me by agents on what their plans are that probably isn't a good idea to do right now. All right, so I'm going to go through them individually. And before I do that, I just want to give one more caveat. Like, some of these things should be done at some point. But for the most part, most of these things are the wrong things to do for newer investors. So I'm going to go kind of bullet point by bullet point. So the number one thing, and this is in no particular order, that I don't recommend doing out of the gate is accounting matters or setting up an entity. As somebody who's been in business for a while now, as somebody who is a former CPA who dealt with small business clients, in almost all cases, investors, new business owners, one of the first things that they think about, for whatever reason, is tax implications, accounting implications, and I need to set up an entity for my business. This is absolutely should never be one of your top priorities in the beginning. Why? You might ask, because it sounds like it could be logical. Hey, I need an entity. Hey, I need to worry about my tax situation. No. Why? Because you haven't made a dollar yet. Okay, one important principle of business, of investing in general, is if you haven't made a dollar, if you haven't driven any revenue to the bottom line, if you haven't generated any investment income, the first thing that you need to think about is generating that income, lead generation, sales, marketing, etc. So again, like the caveat mentioned before I started, I'm not saying don't worry about taxes. I'm not saying don't ever worry about accounting. I'm not saying don't set up an entity. What I am saying is if you are a beginning investor, you're a beginning business owner, and you haven't generated a dollar yet, spending time, and I'm going to add one more thing to point number one, thinking about the name of your business, the logo of your business, the tax implications of your business, the entity, like all of the stuff that's kind of like not relevant until you actually make a dollar, you need to be focused on money making activities in the beginning. So that's number one. Number two, top 10 things that I do not recommend doing when you're a beginning investor. And I see this all the time. Number two, I'm going to start later. And there are so many reasons why starting later is bad. First and foremost, like, there is never a good time to start doing anything. I don't care if you want to get in shape. I don't care if you want to build a business. I don't care if you want to build a house. I don't care if you want to invest. There's never going to be a good time to start. Later typically means never. In fact, the most successful people are very impatient. Now, being impatient isn't necessarily a great thing all the time, but you have to have a little bit of impatience to you when it comes to investing. There's never going to be a good time to start, but I do want to make a second point with the impatient part, which is that when people typically tell me that they're not ready to start investing yet, it's because they don't understand what they would actually be doing today to start investing. Meaning, when most people tell me, hey, I'm going to start investing in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, in 6 months, they think that means that all of a sudden, one day, they're going to wake up 6 months from now, a year from now, 2 years from now, and they're going to buy a piece of property, which is not what I would recommend doing. What I would recommend doing for every single person who's in kind of the beginning phases of investing is you've got to get educated. Building your educational building blocks is the most important thing you can do. And you cannot give me a reason why you can't start that now. Reason being is we've got so many ways for you to get educated on the go. And I'll just give you one of the most simple examples, right? So obviously I have a podcast, the Agent Investor Podcast. You can listen to the episodes at www.agentinvestorpodcast.com. There is nobody that's listening right now that can tell me that they don't have 2 hours a week to listen to podcasts. Because listen, you're an agent, you're in your car, you're on a walk, you're at the gym, you're doing your laundry, cleaning your house, you've got an hour or 2 hours every single week. So one of the first steps that people don't really think about when it comes to investing is getting an educational base. You can get that educational base very easily by listening to our podcast, by coming to our events, etc. So putting that off doesn't ever make any sense. Because again, you are doing things in your life today where you could have a podcast on in the background. I promise you, that you can come to our event every single month, right? That's few hours a month, easy to do, right? That is where I would start. There is no reason to put that off. So when people say, hey, I'm not ready to invest now, it's okay to not be ready to buy a house now. It's okay to not be ready to do a lot of investing activities, but there's no reason why you can't learn. Download podcast episodes, come to our event at www.agentinvestorevent.com. All right, third thing I see a lot of people that are getting into investing try to do in the beginning phases, and they talk about doing when I say, hey, what's your plan? A lot of times people think, especially if they're lead generating for off-market deals, they think they need this big wholesaling list. Like, I need a huge buyer list. And I see a lot of newer investors even reach out to me and they're like, hey, Tom, what do you buy? What's your buy box? Tell me what I can look for. That's going about it in a backwards manner. Because at the end of the day, especially in the market that we're in right now, great deals are very, very scarce. So when people ask me, like, what do I buy? Right? I buy everything. Everything that I can buy that will make a profit. So you don't need to specialize a marketing campaign for any one investor. And you also don't need this massive buyers list, right? In every market, I don't care where you're listening. I don't care if you're in LA, Boston, Chicago, Atlanta, doesn't matter. There's like 10 investors that do most of the deals. You don't need a huge buyer list. You need to connect with just a few of those people. But you shouldn't even be worried about that until you actually have a deal. So a lot of what I'm saying today isn't, again, my caveat in the beginning. It's not that you shouldn't be doing this stuff at some point. It's that building a buyer's list is like step 4, 5, 6, and 7, not step number one. You know, so inherent in a lot of the things that I'm saying right now, like, what are some of the things that you should be doing? Like, you should be generating revenue, finding off-market deals, right? You should be working on revenue-generating activities. And for those of you who don't know about our partnership program, if you're in the New England area, you don't even need a buyer list, right? Because if you have an off-market deal that makes money, you send it to us, we'll put up the money, we'll do the construction, and we'll split the profits 50-50. Our average profit per deal on deals that agents send us is $80,000, which means that you don't need a buyer's list because if you work with us, you're going to make about $40,000 per deal. And of course, profits are all over the place, but that's the average for what we're doing right now. So do not start by building a buyer list. All right, number four thing not to do as a newer investor. Now, I said a couple minutes ago, you need to be a little bit impatient. But number four thing not to do is not to be stupidly impatient and go run out and do a deal. Especially if you're not ready, especially if you've not built that foundational education base yet. If you're talking about fixing and flipping, I would highly recommend partnering with us before you do your own deal, right? That way, you're protecting yourself. If you're buying and holding, I would strongly recommend getting into the inner circle, having us help you analyze those deals. But you don't need in the beginning to run out and force a deal. And I see this happen. You know, I deal a lot of times with people on two ends of the spectrum. I deal with people that are always like, hey, I'm going to do this next year. I'm going to do this tomorrow. Then I have people that are like, hey, I know that you recommended that I get an education base first, but I just put an offer in on a property and I'm closing on it tomorrow. You really don't want to be in either of those camps, right? You want to buy when it's the appropriate time. You don't want to, you know, take too long, but you also don't want to run out and do something just to do it. So that's number four. Number five, see this all the time. Do not go out and work with somebody to pitch their bad deals, okay? So we call this daisy chaining in the investment world, which is basically somebody goes out, gets a property under contract, off market, and then all of a sudden, 10 other people are promoting that deal. And it's typically not a good deal. So pitching other people's bad deals. Am I going to tell you that you can't make money doing that? I'm not. I'm going to tell you that you're definitely going against the tide. You're not swimming with the tide. You're swimming against it. In most cases, if you have a relationship with somebody and they say, hey, I get these off-market deals, I need help pitching them. Getting back to my point maybe 5 or 10 minutes ago, something's a great deal. It doesn't need this massive promotion, right? If you have a great deal, it's going to be very easy to find an investor to buy it. If you have a really bad deal, you probably aren't going to sell it anyways. So it's important to not waste your time going out there and pitching other people's deals. And frankly, that's not really, in my opinion, being an investor, right? You're kind of like acting still in an agent transactional role, but it's probably worse than that, in my opinion. I would steer clear of that altogether. All right, let's see. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, 6. 6th thing not to do in the very beginning, start going out, running out, trying to raise capital. Now, we teach and train on how to raise capital. I'm not saying don't ever raise capital, but you need a track record to start. Okay, you need some sort of success history, track record in order to be able to raise capital. People who have money are, well, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say people who have money are smart, but maybe that's not always the case. But people who have money are cautious about who they give their money to. And if you don't have a track record and you're kind of like running out, pitching deals that you've never done, it's only going to end in kind of some uncomfortable conversations, especially if you're pitching to people that you know. I would highly suggest, and you don't necessarily need to have a 20-year track record, but I would highly suggest getting some traction, some success first, building up your track record, and then going out and raising capital. Again, that doesn't mean that you have to wait 5 or 10 years in order to do that, but it does mean to have some level of success first before you go out there and you start raising capital. For the main reason is that you're probably not going to have a lot of success with it, right? You might be able to generate the conversations. You might be able to get somebody excited, but as they're going through the process and saying, hey, like, what have you done? If you haven't done anything, it's going to be very challenging. And again, it's going to lead to a lot of frustration, probably on both sides. All right, 7. This one is maybe the top one, top thing not to do. It's really, really important. 7 thing not to do, especially early on, is just to look to the person to the left of you and look to the person to the right of you and see how they're investing and just copy them to a T. See this all the time. This is really why, like I talked in the beginning about getting on a call with me, a free inner circle call that you can do at www.agentinvestorinnercircle.com. I see this all the time. You might have a friend who's had some success investing, or they're in the beginning phases of their investing. And maybe they listened to a podcast or watched a webinar or went to an event, and they're telling you all about how they're going to do short-term rentals or warehouse investing. And they kind of convince you because, you know, maybe they're somebody that you trust and you like, and maybe they've been successful in the past. And then all of a sudden, without really too much thought, all of a sudden you're trying to do the same exact thing as them. And the reason why I don't recommend that is because it's very, very unlikely that you're in the same exact situation as them and have the same goals as them. Not forgetting the fact that they may be doing the wrong thing themselves. So this is why it's so important when people join the inner circle, we have a 5-step process. But 1 is to figure out where you're at today. Just you, not the person to the left of you, not the person to the right of you. And 2 is, where do you want to be 5 to 10 years into the future? These are two hugely important questions. And I promise you, if you look and say, where are you at right now? Where do you want to be 5 to 10 years from now? And then you look to the left and you look at their answers, and you look to the right and you look at their answers, they're going to be different. So you don't want to be doing the same exact thing as somebody else who's at a different place and has different goals than you. Okay. And I got asked this question yesterday on a call with an inner circle member. And they basically said, like, hey, can you give me a bunch of modules that I can go through? And I said, I could do that. I have countless number of videos and tutorials, and I could create modules. But my problem with modules is that makes the assumption that everybody should be doing the same thing. And I don't believe that because everybody's different. You know, some people, and I'm just going to give kind of theoretical stuff. Some people have a lot of capital and they just need to get a return on their capital. Some people love the idea of doing short-term rentals and owning them and managing them. And that's maybe what they should do. Another person might like flipping homes. Maybe they're into the construction or they're into finding off-market deals. Maybe somebody is into finding off-market deals, but they don't want to do the construction. So maybe they partner with us or they wholesale. I could give 20 more examples of different ways to invest, but there is a lot of depth to investing. So this is why, again, going back to my point on getting educated, it's really important to get educated first, because before you spend a lot of time investing a lot of time doing things, you want to make sure step number three in our five-step process is choose your investing vehicle, right? That's a huge thing. Do you want to do small multifamily? Do you want to do short-term rentals? Do you want to flip? Do you want to wholesale? Do you want to assign contracts? Do you want to do warehouses? Do you want to do, you know, whatever? I could go on and on and on. Passive investing. Okay. So again, top 10 things not to do. Don't copy what the next person to you is doing. In fact, I would recommend hopping on a call with me at agentinvestorinnercircle.com so that we can kind of tailor a plan specific to you. And if you don't want to hop on a call with me, that's fine, but still take the advice. Don't just copy the person next to you. All right. Step number eight. This one drives me bananas. Anybody who follows me on Facebook, which you can do by going to Tommy Caffarella on Facebook, making offers on the MLS. And anybody that knows this knows that I made, I think it was 1,800 offers on the MLS in the last 60 days. And I got a total of zero accepted. And the only reason I made those offers on the MLS is because I had posted something about saying you can't get deals on the MLS. I had a friend actually reach out to me and said, hey, I know kind of a way to do this. You might want to try it this way. So I took his advice. I made those, you know, tons of offers, and I got none accepted. Really, even if I had got one accepted, it still to me would prove the point that the best deals to be had are not on the multiple listing service. It is very easy to make offers on the MLS. It's why everybody does it, right? It's why in every industry of success, there is always kind of, I don't want to call it a get rich quick scheme, but there's always like 5 minute apps or 10 minute, you know, this, or, you know, 1 minute that. We're humans. We all want the path of least resistance to success. The idea of buying a property on the multiple listing service is a lot easier than figuring out and studying how to generate off-market seller appointments and deals. Much, much easier. The problem is that you're not going to get the results that you want by buying properties on the multiple listing service, especially in the market that we're in today. I don't care what part of the country you're in right now. All right. There's nowhere in the United States where there is excess seller inventory where you can get great deals. We are all desperate for inventory right now. It is challenging in every market across the United States to get great deals. I talk about my two pond analogy all the time, right? Pond number one and pond number two. Pond number one is the MLS. And in pond number one, there's one fish in the pond and you've got 100 people trying to catch that fish, right? Pond number two has got 10 fish and two people trying to catch those fish. Pond number two is off market, is off the MLS. So again, I'll never tell somebody they can't get a deal on the MLS because you have 100 people fishing, one fish, somebody's going to get that one fish. I'd rather be in pond number two, pond B, where there's 10 fish and two fishermen. All right, number nine, things not to do when you're first starting. Don't quit the way you're making money today. In real estate investing, I hate to say it. I'm sure there are plenty of webinars and podcasts that you can listen to. They're going to tell you that in 2 years, you can become a multimillionaire. In 1 year, in 6 months, Not this one. Okay. What I teach and train on are ways to get to become a multimillionaire, the tried and true way that's going to take time. So I would never advocate, if you have a full-time job or you're selling real estate, I would never recommend to go cold turkey and go into investing. The main reason is it's going to take time, right? It's going to take time for you to make money. Not only that, but the income that you're currently making is going to actually help you a little bit, be a little bit more patient and do the right things. So I would never advocate. I am somebody who says, like, when you're ready, go all in. Once you've proven out the model, go all in, not in the beginning. And number 10, okay, well, I'm going to partner with somebody. What do you think about partnering with somebody to do a deal, right? Partnering, and when I say that, I mean partnering with somebody that's also never done a deal. What do you think about, like, I've got a friend, you know, combined, we could afford this property, combined, we could flip this house, whatever. Two people that don't know what they're doing is worse than one person that doesn't know what they're doing. Two newbies is worse than one newbie. And the reason, I mean, I'm sure as I say this, it kind of makes logical sense, but if you've got two people that don't know what they're doing or two people that are newer, now all you're adding in, you've added no expertise, right? All you've kind of added in are potential disagreements. I am not saying never to partner with somebody. I am saying most of the time you shouldn't. You, if you are thinking, let me seek out a random stranger as a partner, let me partner with somebody that I just met at a meetup event 2 days ago, I would strongly advise against it. There's not many benefits to doing that. And I can kind of give you probably a list of about 50 reasons why it could be a problem. And I can't think of too many reasons why it would be good. Okay. So I am not completely anti-partner, but unless you tell me, like, you've got a great reason, you've had a long-standing relationship with somebody, they're your brother, they're a relative, they're somebody that you've known forever, that you've worked with, you know, something along those lines, and there's value to both sides. Like, there's clear-cut value to both sides. I do have partners in my business. So just to kind of just highlight this for a second, why I partnered. I partnered with two people. I was the deal finder in our company. Then we had another person, a second person who managed the construction, another person who managed the finances and the accounting. So there were logical reasons why we partnered together. I still have limited construction knowledge, right? So for me, when I find a deal, the ability for me to just send it to kind of our construction department to get it done was hugely beneficial for me. So I'm not saying don't ever partner. And I'm not saying don't ever do any of these things. Remember, in the beginning, these are the top things, top 10 things not to do in on day one, right? So again, it begs the question, like, what do you do on day one? Without a doubt, day one is all about education. That means coming to our events at www.agentinvestorevent.com. That means jumping on an inner circle call at www.agentinvestorinnercircle.com. That means listening to our podcast every week. There's no reason you can't listen to one episode a week, right? You have an hour of dead time every week. You can listen to any of our episodes at www.agentinvestorpodcast.com. So get that base. That's kind of step number one. Make a plan, right? Where are you at today? Where do you want to be 5 to 10 years into the future? That's a lot of the stuff that we work with, people that are in the inner circle. Make that concrete plan. Create a scorecard. Like, how do you measure your success every single week? Okay. And at the end of the day, you're ultimately going to have to find a way to find great deals. That's usually one of the first things to do. You find a great deal, you can partner with us. All you have to do is reach out to me, let me know that you've got an off-market deal. We're doing, at this point, 3 to 4 of these a month with agents who are bringing us deals. We're putting up the money. We're doing the construction. We're splitting the profits 50-50. So focus in the beginning on education and generating deals. I could give you some other stuff depending on your own individual situation that you might want to kind of think about, but no doubt, don't do any of these 10 things. Don't go worrying about taxes or entities. Don't put it off. Don't start at a later date. Don't buy a wholesale list. You don't need to. You can partner with us. Don't take immediate action and do a deal, right? Find a deal, but you don't need to buy it. You could partner with us, or, you know, there's a lot of other things you could do there. Don't ever pitch other people's bad deals. It's not investing. It's not going to make you a bunch of money. Don't try to raise money in the beginning. You're not going to have a bunch of success until you have a track record. Don't copy what the person next to you is doing, right? They're not you. You shouldn't have the same plan as them. Don't make offers on the MLS. It is pretty much a complete waste of time. Don't quit your money-making job yet until you're generating income. And don't try to run out and find a partner who's never done a deal before just because you want to like do it with somebody. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Guys, again, can't stress enough, get educated first. Come to one of our events at www.agentinvestorevent.com. As much as we're trying to rotate these, I know they're still not always going to be convenient for everybody all the time. Take the time, right? If investing is important enough to you, put it first, right? I know you're busy. I'm busy. I know that a lot of times, especially as an agent, you know, you get busy with transactional stuff. Just make it a priority. Block off your calendar. If you have to fly out here, if you have to drive, I know that stuff isn't fun. I know it's a commitment, but the only way that you're going to invest is if you get educated and you're around other people who are investing. They say that you're the average of the five people that you spend the most amount of time with. If you want to invest, start spending time around other investors. At least half of the people that come to our events are already investing. Most of them are probably just one or two notches above where you're at. It's great for networking. It's great for information. And I appreciate everybody watching live. And I hope to see as many of you as possible at our next event, www.agentinvestorevent.com. Register today. Thanks again for listening to the Agent Investor Podcast. And especially thank you for sharing the show with other agents and reviewing the show on iTunes. Every time you share the show and leave a review, you are potentially changing someone's life. To get free weekly education, strategies, and to connect with other agent investors across the country, join our free Facebook group at agentinvestor.com. Again, that's agentinvestor.com.